Now, around this time last month, we spoke with the acting CEO, Nicola Hopcroft, of Siam Satira about the restructuring of the operations of the National Folk Theatre, which include the fact that it's no longer going to be the National Folk Theatre. A statement from the board at the time pointed to a reduction in box office takings as visitors to Siam's summer season declined and shifting demographics and tourism trends impacted levels of interest in traditional Irish folk culture and the arts. COVID-19 compounded the issues for the theatre, and in response, the board, following a consultation process, devised a new business plan. The plan includes the sale of Chock, Shamson, Acarriga and Dingle, a change in programming, and the moving of the National Folk Theatre back to Fanoog and making the roles of artistic director, repertory director and training and development officer redundant, while creating a new community engagement full-time role, which is now being advertised alongside the position of CEO of Shamson Atira. And of course, the summer programme, Fado Fado, now all gone from the theatre. There's been a reaction, of course, as you would expect, from the community in Kerry, and particularly the community cast members of Siam Satira and the alumni who have come through many years of training. Many of them have gone on to be professional artists and dance instructors. One of those is Rob Heaslip, who works in arts and theatre full-time now. He trained under the Siamsa Folk Theatre system, was a member of the Siamsa community cast, and I spoke to him about he's looking for more clarity and transparency about the change to Siam Satira. I first of all asked him to tell me about his background through Siamsa and how that developed and led him onto his career.
From the very beginning, like most, I began my Irish dancing through a local dancing master in Tralee through Jimmy Smith, and then that led on to auditioning for the training centre in Fanuig. I then had a break from that for a while, and I joined Tralee Musical Society. And it was through Tralee Musical Society, whose artistic director is Oliver Hurley, who was also artistic director of Siam Satira, the National Folk Theatre at the time. I auditioned under him, and I then joined the community cast. I would have been around 16, 17. And from there, all during my university years, my income came through me doing the summer season shows. You did your stint during the summer, and that paid for my stint in university every year. And then after that, I subsequently joined the professional core group, and then from there I moved to further my training in Scotland. And so I've been working in the professional realm ever since.
Yeah, so it started you on the road and gave you your foundational training, as it's done for many people who've gone on to careers and lives in the arts. So what was your reaction then when you would have, I suppose, observed what was happening kind of in stages in terms of the summer season being dropped? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, obviously COVID and other things like that impacted. And then, I suppose, the most recent announcements about the change in direction at Siam Satira.
Yeah. Well, Joe, you know, it's funny because it came as a bit of a shock, actually, in terms of the magnitude of the moves that were made and the decisions taken. I think it's interesting that we're talking about the stages that were set out as to the decline in what was in audiences in Siamsa, but actually, you know, if this was happening for a long period of time, surely there must have been some sequence of events and a narrative unfolding for the board of Siam Satira to be more and more aware of what was happening. We seem to have passed through a period where there was an awareness of things taking place, but no action made, and then it reaches the crux, and then a decision was made, and, you know, in my view and a view of a lot of the people I've been speaking to, quite a drastic, you know, they're proposing a drastic solution to a problem when actually the problem hasn't really gone away.
Yeah. Like, is it your feeling, from the feedback we got from our interview with Nicola Hopcroft, the acting CEO, and I know they're recruiting now for a new CEO, and the feeling that perhaps maybe things drifted and weren't addressed? And I'm saying that in the context of the seismic challenges for all in the arts industry that COVID in particular, but there seemed like, I don't want to blame it on COVID, and I don't think Siamsa are blaming it all on COVID either. The line is that this was a gradual change in demographics, in appeal of audiences for what Fado Fado and the National Folk Theatre
had been all about. Would you be critical, or others that you spoke to, would be critical of, well, that shouldn't have been allowed to happen, or action should have been taken sooner, and what action, shall we say?
Yeah. No, exactly. I think that the issue with you know, establishing a narrative is that, you know, it needs to be coherent. And for me, you know, the role and purpose of a board is to keep an eye over an organization. You know, and then if an acting CEO comes forward and says, you know, there was a decline in the buses, you know, and then COVID came, and then the cost of living crisis came. These all didn't happen at the same time. And actually, we're talking in the realm of years now at this stage. So yeah. This idea of a decline that, you know, a problem began many years ago and the solution is only found now, but yet nothing seems to have happened in between. For me, there was no visual, you know, how the board or the organization is responding to the need to change, you know, the demographics or the need to look for alternative audiences. You know, for me, there was no diversification. There was no apparent diversification to say that actually we as an organization were trying here to find new audiences for it. You know, and then for me, it was a shame during that interview because it was just, you know, this idea that the buses stopped coming. You know, and the idea, you know, well, actually, you're talking about buses in the county of Kerry, and Kerry is like an absolutely thriving tourist and artistic realm. You know, there's always an audience. It's more about, you know, if it's changing, you change with them and you broaden your take, you know, that you broaden the work that you're presenting to them. You know, I did say, you know, it is the job of the board and the management to really like flex the company so that the company can be responsive to the needs of the audiences. You know, there is no shortage of artists making work based on intangible cultural heritage in Kerry, and they're thriving nationally and internationally. You know, I just, the narrative doesn't really suit the landscape that Siam Sa Tíre, you know, either the building or the National Folk Theatre is sitting in. And I, you know, as an artist myself, you know, I was left questioning, you know, what, you know, if you're saying changes were made, then, you know, for me, they weren't obvious enough. And therefore, you know, like, how can conversation be generated around things and events that are not obvious for people to notice and talk about in the first place?
Okay, well, what are your fears for it now then? And is it, like, there's two ways of looking at this, to my mind, from the reaction we've gotten and from the direction that's been taken by the board. They're repurposing what happens at the theatre in order to enable it to survive and be commercially viable. But on the other hand, they're moving out the very thing it was set up for in the first place, which is the National Folk Theatre. Yeah. And that kind of jars with a lot of people in terms of the heritage that was there, but also, well, the reason it was set up wasn't to be just another theatre. It was the National Folk Theatre. So moving that to Fanoog or whatever the situation, and I know they're keeping the training element of it in Tralee, but that seems like an abandonment of the founding principle, I suppose you could say.
No, exactly, Jerry. And I'll tell you now, and something I noticed and I brought up. So there's two job descriptions posted to the Siam Sa Tíre website, one for the new CEO and another one for a community engagement officer. I've read both in full. There is no mention of a National Folk Theatre in either document. So a National Folk Theatre is not in the remit of either of those two positions, which says a lot, really. And I also would, you know, I hope people, you know, the people of Tralee and Kerry and further afield would realise that actually Tralee had the National Folk Theatre of Ireland. It was unique. There's nothing else like it in Ireland, and we have lost that. You know, it is an organization that is the guardian of our cultural heritage. You know, by removing the artistic team, you have now broken the link of, so Siam Sa celebrates 50 years. You've broken the link of 50 years of Irish intangible cultural heritage that has been embodied through the people and the generations of people in the town of Tralee, in the town surrounding Tralee, and the towns across Kerry in full. There now is nobody in a full-time post to look after all the repertoire, all the skills, all the art forms, the singing, the dancing, the music, There's no one there. There's no connection. It lives and breathes now in the community cast and the of Tralee, who are, you know, they're in and around, they're across the town. They're looking to Seamus now because nobody knows what's going on. You know, we've entered a period now where people every year had like regular interaction with the professional company, came to the building, came to do the shows, and now that's just gone, and there's nothing left. You know, there is, you know, I am warned that they have you know, given notice that they will keep the educational side in Tak Siamsa. However, I again, you know, I bring forward the point of when you think of all the talent that is in Kerry, okay, you think about you have your dancers, you have like John Fitzgerald, Justin Walsh, you have Sean Hannafin touring the world with huge international Irish dancing troupes. You have Sarah Jane Drummy, established playwright and actress. You have Paula Murray. You have like one of the most in demand mezzo sopranos in Europe, if not the world. Okay, you know you have these artists. They came from the training center. They work. They provide and they build careers for people in Kerry to go national, go international, and fulfill, you know, a career in the arts. And now you have to my view, you know, this governance and these decisions being made at board level, and it seems to say, you know, that doesn't matter. You know, you can, you know, we'll give you the training, but actually we as the people training, we're not going to give you the chance to really
to show off those skills
in front of an audience on the main stage. So when you think about, you know, young people, like, what message is that to the young people of Kerry to say, you know,
This is where I want to be, and that's,
if you want to train, it's great, but we're not going to give you a career in the arts. You know, like, yes, we'll teach you, you know, Irish language song, we'll teach you Irish dancing, we'll teach you traditional Irish music, but we're not going to give you an opportunity to become a professional. You know,
let me ask you this, Rob, and it's to go to the concern of the community cast you talked about there. What do you say to those? Say, look, nothing ever stays the same. Things change. Tastes change, cultural phenomenons rise and fall, you know, empires don't last forever, that this was a period of time, 50 years, it's run its course, and, you know, businesses close down all the time that have been there for 50, 60 years, it's tough, it's harsh, but that's it, and they have to adapt to the changing circumstances. What's your response to that argument?
I agree with that. You know, I think it's really, when you're talking about public money, you're talking about funds from the public purse. It's really important to have these discussions publicly so that people understand. I think for me, there is a difference, though, in the sense of, I completely support the idea of changes being made. I completely support, like, really identifying that the Ireland of 50 years ago is not the Ireland of today. We have a responsibility to understand, you know, our own culture, but also the culture of the people we share this island with. And I don't think anyone disputes that. I think for me, it is this case of we have gone from just this clean cut where we say, you know, if, you know, I think even
we're,
if
we're wiping the slate clean and we're starting from scratch again, that's what I feel.
But hold on to what we have. You know, I take issue with the fact that there's now nobody, there's no institutional memory within the building to look after the repertoire. You know, it can't even be a resource at this stage because there is nobody to manage it. If you want to move on, fine. Change the structure. You know, like, take what's working and discard what's not working. But how can you reshape something if you completely remove it?
Yeah. Let me ask you this. We've got a green minister in place at the moment, for how much longer we don't know, who is, you know, very interested in the arts. And as far as we're aware, and we haven't asked her the question, but this has happened effectively on you know, her watch. It opens up the question of public funding, as you talked about there. There is a whole discussion, and, like, I suppose the question I'm asking, are we at a crossroads, or where is the leadership in terms of support for the arts with public money, but the need for viability, the public-private partnership? And you could widen this question out for Tralee in terms of some of our festivals and where they're going at the moment and what's happening with the Rose of Tralee and how that's changed. And the council have had to row in and take over an element of that. And there's big questions about its future, the importance of that for Tralee, in the same way as you talked about the importance of the National Folk Theatre of Ireland being in Tralee. Yeah. We're at a bit of a crossroads with all of that. And there doesn't seem to be the community cast are speaking up. Obviously, you're speaking up in your experience. We've spoken to the CEO, but there doesn't seem to be much leadership or much discussion as to, well, what does the future hold? Like, what happens if SHIMSA doesn't work viably? Will the government step in? And what's the model going forward for community involvement, using public money to protect the cultural heritage versus getting bums on seats, if I can put it as crudely as that?
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of that is to do with clarity of purpose, of remit. You know, I think for now it looks like there's confusion at SHIMSA as to, you know, what is the remit of the building. We somehow have gone from having a full-time, like, a full-time repertory company, and now, you know, dealing in intangible cultural heritage, and we've somehow got an Andrew Lloyd Webber musical coming up within like a couple of months' time. You know, what is the purpose of the building? You know, and this idea of good governance as well. I made the point again to as part of the discussions. I said there's no artist who works in intangible cultural heritage sitting on the board of SHIMSA Tíre. So in my view, the board is incomplete. It remains incomplete.
Would you like to see someone like that on the board, or any possibility of a change of course, or even a discussion? More involved the community cast in that discussion about where we go from here.
Yeah, I would. I think it's important to have those voices. Like, I mean, you know, I suppose we are talking machines at this stage, but we're also talking about this on a more national scale. You know, it, for me, it's often the lack of artistic voice at a governance level in artistic organizations. Yeah. So that voice is lost, and actually, it is often the responsibility of the artist to demonstrate how they use public funds to bring works of art to the public. So if that relationship is not made manifest or represented at governance level, then how can boards of management really understand how the community are interacting with the artist, how the community are getting the value for the funds for the work that these artists are making to bring to the people? It's a huge gap. You know, to not have an artist on a board, for me, is you're missing a very crucial link in that chain.
Would you like to hear from the Arts Council on it? The council people are providing money as to what they would like to see happen?
I'm absolutely certain that the Arts Council are already aware of this. You know, I'm sure management and board assumes it will be speaking to the Arts Council.
Sure.
So whatever decision making process is being made there is gone. I suppose, you know, it's there. Like, it's also, I think that has kind of been on my mind as well, is the fact that with these national portfolio organizations, nothing is done in short notice. So, you know, the idea that, you know, you would make the performing company redundant, that decision was made 6 months ago, more. You know, it isn't something that's made we're not talking weeks. You know, and these organizations, they're working on cycles of strategies that are 3, 5, 10 year strategies.
Yeah.
So there's you know, this idea that, you know, it's somehow like a short reaction to a problem, it doesn't marry up for me, you know, okay. This idea that
let me put this to you then in the context of that this was something that happened over a period of time, and you talk about artist representation on the boards, which I think a lot of people would think was probably a good idea. But what they say is, they'll say, look, artists are in charge of the creative. When it comes to business and tough-nosed decisions, they're not part of it. Or someone has to make a call, as harsh as it is, and, you know, that's the way it has to be.
Well, you know what? In my experience, when a high-ranking admin comes looking for a project description, it's the artist that they ask to draft the budget for first.
Yeah.
It comes from the artist, you know, and this idea, you know, like people, you know, like I write massive applications that I hand into organizations, and they post them away, you know, because it all feeds into the building blocks. If you're not working on the ground, if you're not working at grassroots, you're not going to grow upward. You can't. You have to start from the beginning. You have to start from recognizing the role of the, like, and the value of the arts towards the people, and the skills that the artists have in bringing that work to people. It goes upwards.
Okay, and Rob, finally on that, would you like to, obviously you'd like to hear more a response to your concerns, the concerns of the community cast, and more on what it will be the future direction of Siom Satira?
Yeah, yeah. Like I have had like communication with the acting CEO, Nikki. I have, you know, I've expressed my views, and I did say, you know, I was like, look, I have been very vocal about this. This is my career. I've worked so closely with the performing company. They've been so supportive in the work I do and the work that other people do in the realm of tangible cultural heritage. It just, for me, I can come forward, and I suppose in a way I understand the mechanisms that are in place here, and a lot of the community cast members don't. And I have had communication in the background, people coming forward privately to say, look, I didn't fully appreciate what was going on. I didn't, like, have we really lost our national folk theatre? You know, and I'm still telling people, you know, I'm having conversations, think, is that really happening? It seems that we lost the national folk theatre. And I have to nod and I say, we have lost our national folk theatre of Ireland. And if anything, I said to Nikki, it was like, improve the communication. People don't fully understand the gravity of what has happened, be them in the community cast, be them in the audience, be them in the people of the town and the county who might have only just come once a year, you know, but that was still their once a year trip to Siom Satira.
Yeah.
So more clarity, more transparency, you know. Let's hear from the board. You know, like there's been no shortage of talk on the radio waves about what's going on. So let's hear from the board. You know, I know people have written into the board. They're waiting, you know, like get responses. You know, if you want to, you know, people can write in and, you know, request information. And I have to say, you know, despite the tone of this conversation, Nikki was really warm to receiving communication from people to say, please contact her if you need any further information. She was more than happy to speak to me. She was more than happy to hear me out. And I'm sure she will do the same for anyone who wants to come forward.